hamster. He's lived for almost 3 years, sleeping in the daytime, running at night. But now he doesn't move, run so fast. Now he's so weak, it scares me. And one day, he just didn't move at all. That little thing, he just meant so much, and now he's gone.
You have to think, because if you die, you have to know that you lived. You have to live to die.
My name is Richard Lewis, and this is Fire, Fire Burning Bright, the fifth in a series of six programs about how and why we create poems. We hope to introduce you to the inspiration and excitement of poetry and the many ways we are all part of a long tradition of poets who, from the earliest of times, have sung, spoken, and written about the great concerns of our being alive.
When you're still living and you're alone, you have feelings and it feels like it's true inside you, and no one's around to bother you, so you go into a deep trance and you're just by yourself, alone with your feelings.
Aren't we talking about, there's dead as the end, or as Michelle was talking, when you're really alone, you're as good as dead, because you need people with you, so you won't be lonely.
But if you're dreaming, right, like she says, like you fall asleep, you have to wake up, but when you're dead, you don't wake up.
Right. So we're talking about dead as a doornail. Yeah. Right. So that's, she's talking about dreaming, and I guess the other, myself, thinks we're talking about just gone forever.
The voices you are listening to are a group of students at the Louis Armstrong Intermediate School in Queens, New York. They are talking about death, one of the themes which poets from many different kinds of cultures and backgrounds have used for their poetry.
Sometimes when someone dies, their friends or relatives are mad that they passed away, and they don't forgive them. But I don't think they're really mad at them, just it was so unexpected. They wanted to share more good, happy moments together.
When I think of death, I feel scared. Because death is so unexpected. You never know when it's going to come. So even death could stop a happy moment in your life. So I really get scared when I think of death.
To think of death is to think of something so overwhelming that most of us try not to think about it. And like Edgar, we also know that death could stop a happy moment in your life, unexpectedly. Ever since human beings became aware of death, they have been attempting to find some explanation and reason for it. And today, we are still searching for ways to describe its actions upon us.
A beginning is birth, an end is death. It's like being in a factory. Your maker puts in that little piece, which is life. Then after, he must take it away. He puts you in a box, and then you must stay.
Death is for some people a battle, for it always isn't gentle. But for some, it is expected, and they go away very gently.
Death, it hurts. Death can really hurt someone, but no one knows why. Some people laugh, some yell, and some even cry. But death is mysterious. It all happens any second. But people soon reborn after their sudden happening, because there is life beyond your own.
One of the great mysteries, and one which poets have traditionally tried to express, is the journey of the dead. In these Eskimo poems, the journey provides an inspiration for singing. The dead who climb up to the sky, climb up steps to the sky. upworn steps. All the dead who climb up to the sky on worn steps, worn from the other side, worn from the inside, climb up to the sky. I wonder if you were able then to sing. When I rose up there, to the great heavens up there, I had become frightfully exhausted. I had become frightfully breathless. But when I caught sight of my relations, is it you who once were? Then I took to singing high soundingly. That time, I had been quite exhausted. I breathed my little song about it. Perhaps by attempting to describe our dying, we are better able to understand and accept its inevitability. Poetry also arises from feelings about the death of other living things which are related to us.
Meteors, like, they're hot and sometimes they fall down to Earth.
Yes.
So they die out, I think.
I think about the stars dying out, if they ever reform.
Plants. Mammals and reptiles.
Animals.
Birds.
In this haiku poem by the 17th century Japanese poet Basho, who lived from 1644 to 1694, death is alluded to ever so subtly. This autumn, old age I feel in the birds, in the clouds.
Take me himself, the birds, and the clouds, because the clouds, when it's raining, you see, it starts getting gray and black. It's like getting older, and then the birds get older and die.
In yet another poem by Bunyo no Asayazu, the fragility of dew as it ends its existence is sensitively portrayed. In a gust of wind, the white dew on the autumn grass scatters like a broken necklace.
The wind, it is flowing strongly, like it will never stop. Then suddenly it stops. It struggles to keep going, but it can't. It's fading away. Slowly but slowly it's going. It's gone. It's gone.
Walking down the road, you see leaves flopping over. You go and say, I'll get you water. And when you come back, he's vanished.
Slowly withers away, a long silence forever. In the midst of a grave, falls like a leaf. Away, gone, disappears.
Grass. The first greenness of the grass got into the sunlight. It was showing off its beauty, but then night came and the greenness disappeared in the moonlight. Each piece of grass slowly dropped and each time made a new musical sound of sadness.
There is a bird. Poor bird. Had no power to stop such great forces such as death.
Jeffrey's poem on a bird's death illustrates our human concern for creatures who are as vulnerable as we are to our own mortality. Poets have often observed the process of living and dying in nature, and their words can help us to understand our own mortality. The naturalness of death in the animal world is beautifully illustrated in this poem by D.H. Lawrence, the English novelist and poet who lived from 1885 to 1930. Self-pity. I never saw a wild thing sorry for itself. A small bird will drop frozen dead from a bough without ever having felt sorry for itself. When humans, in earlier societies and cultures, were dependent on hunting as a means of survival, they established a crucial link to the animals they hunted by offering them songs and chants to honor their dying. Perhaps these songs were the first impulses of humans to try to make sense of the finality of death. Just as in the first graves of Paleolithic man, archaeologists have found the remains of flowers and clay vessels, gestures of the living towards those who will leave their life. Like these next songs of the Eskimos and the Yukuts of Central California, the words of our poems can probe the meaning of death, as well as broaden the sense of what it means to be alive. Words to call up game. Beast of the sea, come and offer yourself in the dear early morning. Beast of the plain, come and offer yourself in the dear early morning for subduing a walrus. The walrus, I harpoon it, stroking its cheek. You have become quiet and meek. The walrus, I harpoon it, patting its tusks. You have become quiet and meek. Prayer before killing an eagle. Do not think I shall harm you. You will have a new body. Now turn your head to the north and lie flat.
Dear, I do not mean to hurt you. You want to live, but I too must survive.
Dong, dong, ding, dong. I shall not kill you for money or clothes. I need food for me and family. Ding, dong, dong, dong. Majestic seal, so graceful. Die in peace, for you have contributed enough.
Polar bear. You're good, you're white, you're beautiful skin. Come quietly. Don't fight. We're using you for good. Don't be shy. Just come and give yourself to us. Be peaceful, be quiet, and come and give yourself to us.
The sunshine beautifies your golden eyes. The coolness of the fast-growing wind splashes upon you. Your fur shivers like lightning. After a certain moment, you will never be seen again.
The day we die, then the winds come to wipe us out. The traces of our feet, the wind creates dust, which covers the traces that were where we had walked, for otherwise it would be as if we were still alive. That is why it is the wind that comes to wipe out the traces of our feet.
The deer runs through the forest, weak and tired. He stops. He kneels slowly, shaking. He lays down softly. He closes his eyes. There is a dread silence. The deer fades away slowly.
This has been Fire, Fire Burning Bright, a co-production of the Touchstone Center and Radio Arts Productions, New York, New York. Recording directed by Charles Potter and mixed by David Rapkin. Fire, Fire Burning Bright was written and designed by Richard Lewis. This program was supported by the Queens College Center for the Improvement of Education in the Middle Grades, the New York Council for the Humanities, and the TDK Corporation.